everybody. This is Kelsey Banion again with the Banion Hypnosis Etc. with Celeste Hackett, giving you another no-cal, cal-free hypnosis episode. We bring you fun, interesting, and informative information about hypnosis and what's going on in the profession. Thank you for your feedback. It's been really helpful. If you're not seeing this program on www.calbanion.com, you might want to stop by. There are some sometime and you'll find some links and different resources that we mentioned during the program, as well as resources such as articles and news related to hypnosis. And you'll get to see the man himself on archived podcasts. Celeste, how you doing this week?
I'm doing fine, and I'm just thinking about what you said, no cal. But you know what? It's never no cal. It's more like low cal, because the spirit of him, he is upon us and with us. Isn't that true, Kelsey?
It's true. I'm doing my best to emulate him.
Yeah, it's a low cal episode, so this one you will not get fat on, right?
Exactly.
Anyway, so it's so cool to be doing a show with Kelsey Banion. Do you guys know who this lady is? It's exciting. She is the byproduct of Maureen Banion and Calvin Banion, and she's a chip off the old block. She's learning to be a hypnotist. It's so exciting. So how are you liking being a hypnotist?
It's really cool. I'm so glad to, as I think I mentioned before, but it's so nice when people ask, oh, what your parents do. They're like, oh my gosh, hypnotists? Can you hypnotize me? I can be like, of course, no problem. Do it all the time.
And are you sharing all that you're learning with your friends and telling them what it's like and everything?
I am sharing them a lot of what I'm doing. They think it's really interesting. They're all starting out with their entry-level jobs right out of college, and they're sitting in cubicles staring at spreadsheets and who knows what all the time. So it's nice to, I guess, be able to listen to someone who's like, oh, I went out and I changed someone's outlook today. I made someone want to eat sushi for the first time. So that's always really exciting.
That is really cool. I have to warn you, though, after a while, the friend's eyes may glaze over because this is kind of like a sickness. You know, you love hypnosis when you first start, and then you love it even more, and you can't shut up about it. There comes a point when you have to be really careful around some people. I have some family members that are ready to shoot me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a couple. You know, because I like to talk about hypnosis. It's what I love. But of course, I'm just teasing. I have actually, though, had to curb my enthusiasm around a few people because they don't really understand what's going on. But, you know, back to that entry-level position job. Now, you just graduated from college, isn't that right?
Yes, I did, last May.
Yeah, and what is your degree in, Kelsey?
Nothing to do with hypnosis. It's actually in business, marketing, and Chinese language.
Well, the business part might be about hypnosis a little bit, right?
Kind of, yeah. It's nice because I get to apply some of the things that I've been learning over the last 4 years to the family business, which is nice.
Well, now I want to go in a whole nother direction of questioning, because now I know that you have a business degree. Do you think that you might ever go off and have your own hypnosis, organization or office somewhere? Have you thought about that?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, a bit of a pun, but the branches of this family tree are kind of widespread. So, no matter where I go, I feel like they'll be like, oh, you're a Banion.
Yeah, interesting. Well, the other thing that I was thinking about when you said my friends are working at these boring entry-level jobs is you think that there's a place for promoting hypnosis training to people in colleges? Do you think anybody would be interested? I mean, you were.
Well, yeah, especially I think at my university at George Washington in D.C., it was, I think, the most popular degree was English, followed by psychology, followed by political science, and then international affairs. But that second one is psychology. And there's really not a whole lot that you can do in the profession without going on and getting your master's or your doctorate in psychology. So it's one of those things where if you still have that interest in helping people and how the mind works, then hypnosis is a really good fit, because you can come out of college, you have this fantastic strong background, you have your bachelor's degree, but you can't really do a whole lot. So it's a way for you to get right into helping people.
Yeah, and you can become a hypnotist very quickly, start practicing, use your skills on yourself as well. So if there is something else that you want to do, you can go on to be even better at doing that. There's no reason why you couldn't be a hypnotist and do something else. You see, I'm always trying to get more people into hypnosis, because my dream has always been that every family would have a hypnotist in it. Because just think about that. The whole world would be healed, right?
Oh, yes. Healing the world, one person at a time.
Yeah, we might not want to be working on our own family members, but we could, you know, trade hypnotists from one family to the next. This is a crazy dream, isn't it?
But I can see what you're going at, though. I mean, if you have people starting out from the beginning being like, things that you do now will affect you in the future, and so you might have less age regression to be doing all the time and going back and fixing those problems. And once you teach people about forgiveness, then it'll be one of those things that just gradually snowballs into something better.
Do you think that most of the kids graduating from college are mature enough to do work like this?
I think for the most part, it's maybe when you're a freshman or sophomore, you're still kind of getting your feet and you don't really know what you want to do. But once you graduate, you're really looking for something to do. And, you know, the Bleeding Heart College student, all we want to do is help the world and help people. So that's one thing that you can do, is you can go out and you can start helping people with it. You get trained over a 2-week course. You go and you figure out how to set up an office. You might find someone to help you set up an office. And within 2 months, you're actually out there doing the work and making a difference.
Yeah, making a difference. And everybody wants to make a difference some kind of way. I guess I'm thinking that some, you know, for some people, they might not be emotionally ready, but that's the truth even with people when they're 30, 40, and 50. So if you're listening or are watching this program and you're a college student and you think you're just too young, or maybe you're even in high school and you're looking into the future and you think, oh, I'm just too young or I'm not emotionally ready. Well, you know what? You got to start somewhere. You can go get hypnosis on yourself and take care of your emotional issues and then come be a hypnotist. You can come train with me or with Kelsey's dad, Cal Banyan. But Kelsey, I don't know why. I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but you're just making me remember my first job. I was an ice cream scooper. And I thought, this is such a boring job. I was like 16 years old. I want to do something exciting. And I said, I'm going to have an exciting life. So then I got to be a radio announcer. And I really liked that people would go, you're a radio announcer? Oh, wow. And so when I left radio, I'm like, gosh, you know, I want to have another job that creates that oh, wow in people. And isn't it cool that, you know, you're going to be the most popular person, at least you're going to have the most popular line of work in any group as a hypnotist.
Definitely. Actually, I have once also been an ice cream scooper.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
We have something in common.
We must have known that intuitively. That's why we're doing this show together. Isn't there anything we can do to kind of annoy your dad just for fun? I'm just, you know, we need to brainstorm this, you know, after the show. So if we get to do another one, you know, I keep thinking when the cat's away, the mouse will play. And I just can't think of anything too fun to do to him. I'm out of pranks.
Well, we'll definitely talk about it off air so he won't have any idea when he comes back.
Yeehaw! So what else is on your mind today?
Well, I was kind of thinking, you know, we're getting to the end of the year, and one thing that I don't know if you're big into, but my friends and I are always like, all right, this next year, starting in 2005, 2006, 2007, and this time 2008, I'm going to change. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to stop biting my nails, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to stop smoking, or whatever. Well, stop smoking isn't really much of an issue for me and my friends, but it's one of those things where you always have these things that you want to change a little bit. I'm going to be more organized, I'm going to be more motivated. This semester, I'm going to get straight A's, I'm going to get 4.0. Do you have any people calling you in for New Year's resolutions yet?
Oh, heck yes. That time of year for most hypnotists is busy. Last year, I had a waiting list 5 or 6 weeks out, I guess, maybe even more than that. I can't remember now. I know I was blown away at the amount of people who wanted to come in. And it started probably in November. It hasn't picked up yet in November, but by the first of the year, I had probably 5 and 6 weeks worth of sessions already booked, if not more. And it's just a huge time for hypnosis, and people, the phone will start ringing anytime now, and certainly after the first of the year. And it kind of goes on for several months because people, they don't just go, okay, it's January 1st, I want to lose weight. Some of them start their New Year's resolution, or they get the idea to use hypnosis for what they want to change, the changes they want to make, a little bit later. So they might get the idea, they might start on their own, and then they might want a booster shot a little bit later on.
That makes a whole lot of sense. Do you think there's any, I guess, commitment level between a client that you'd see any other time of the year and the people who are coming in for their New Year's resolutions?
I wondered about that myself. I don't know if it really adds to the commitment level, really. It could, though. Because usually by the time somebody comes in for hypnosis, they've been in a significant amount of pain, or they've had a significant amount of suffering, or they've just been, just, you know, purely from frustration or just the depression of trying and failing at whatever they want to change. So usually by the time they come and see me, you know, they're really ready to go. But, you know, maybe that added to the fact that, you know, we kind of think of the new year as a new chance. Maybe there is an edge there.
What do you think you see the most people for around this time of year?
Well, you probably have already heard that weight loss, hands down, is what, you know, what most hypnotists see most of the time. And it's not that we don't see a lot of other stuff, because we do. Especially me, I tend to attract a whole lot of other things. But and I think a lot of five-pathers do, mainly because our websites and our language, we speak the language of emotions, and people tend to automatically know what, you know, they have other ideas of what we can work with. But we get a whole lot of weight loss. Definitely at the first of the year, people want to start an exercise program, and or they want to stop eating so much, or they want to stop snacking, or they want to stay away from fast food, or, you know, they do want to lose weight. And we do get a fair amount of stopping smoking as well. We're getting less and I'm getting less and less of that, because less and less people are smoking.
Oh.
Yeah. Weight loss for hypnotists, it's a big money maker, and it really, really helps clients. It really, really works. Have you worked with any weight loss clients yet, Kelsey?
Actually, my very first client was weight loss, and I was so nervous, because at one point my mom looks at me and she goes, if you can master weight loss, you can do anything.
That's true. Any of the too much behaviors, for sure. And you can't help but get either pretty good at weight loss or give it up, because that's what you're going to get most of the calls about. When I first started doing this kind of hypnosis, I didn't want to work with weight loss. And a lot of my friends didn't want to work with weight loss. They wanted to do the more interesting things. You know, they wanted to work with people who were in a bad relationship and they couldn't, you know, get rid of their anger, or somebody who had grieving issues and they couldn't get past a loss, or they wanted to work with past lives and, you know, just all these other sorts of things. Or maybe people who had issues with molestation as a child or a bad childhood. These things seemed to be more interesting to hypnotists, the hypnotists that I ran around with and the circles I ran around with. And I didn't think weight loss would be that interesting either. But boy, was I wrong, because the cause of weight loss is always all these other things that you want to work with. So when people say to me, when a new hypnotist says, oh, I don't want to do weight loss, I just won't do weight loss, I'm too good for weight loss, you know, I want something more interesting, I just say, oh, you're missing out on some good, interesting sessions. And it's because people eat as a way of distracting from a lot of different painful things that have happened and a lot of interesting experiences. Have you noticed that yet, Kelsey?
Exactly, actually. It was one of those things where I was like, oh, I'm doing five paths, I'm going to do the same thing every time. But each client brings in their own flair to the process. So you do that age regression, and every time you're like, oh my goodness. All right, so you've got, everybody has a different thing that was their catalyst towards their too much behavior or towards their fear or whatever it was. And definitely with weight loss, there's always a couple layers to that onion, if you will.
Yeah, I'll never forget this one lady that I worked with. You know, I just put her in hypnosis, and I did what we do. I said, there's a feeling inside of you that you just don't like, and it has everything to do. And her issue with being overweight, the thing that she most wanted help with, was she would get home in the evening, and right when she walked in the door, she'd go to the refrigerator, and she'd just start eating. And she didn't know why, and she just couldn't stop. It was very compulsive to her, using a psychological term I probably shouldn't use here. But, you know, she would just have to get right to the eating, and every time, walk in the door, go to the refrigerator, eat and eat and eat until she was satiated, and then relax and feel good for a little while until she started hating herself, you know? And so I said, there's a feeling inside of you that you just don't like, and it has everything to do with you having to eat right when you walk in the door. And as I talk to you, it starts to grow. And as I count from 1 to 5, it starts growing bigger and bigger inside of you, and it comes on stronger. And so I said, 1 is growing stronger. You know how we do that. And then I go 5, you know, count all the way up to 5. And I say, and 5, and there it is. And all of a sudden she starts crying and convulsing in the chair. And so I think she's probably there, right? So I don't do the 5-4-3-2. I don't do the, you know, now we're going back 5-4-3-2-1, be there first impression, indoors, outdoors, daytime, nighttime. I just go to, and I noticed you've already connected to me to it. Tell me what's happening. I just kind of went out on a limb to see if that would work, right? And she just said, oh my gosh, you know, and she went into this whole scene where she was being molested. And we worked through the scene. She got done with that whole thing. And that's the only scene we had time to go to and work through because it was very intense and there was a lot of different elements. And sometimes it's like that, you know? And we had talked a lot and, you know, that before we ever went into the session, a little bit more than I normally do. I can't remember the reason now. But it changed her whole life. And she lost weight and she started exercising and she was so happy. And you see, if you think that weight loss isn't interesting, the next time she came in, we did it again because we had to find the ISC. And the ISC was, she was 3 years old, and her mother used to put a chain around the refrigerator to keep her out of it because they didn't have any money. They were really poor. And so what ended up happening was her mother left the chain off one day, and she was three, and she was in there eating, and she felt so guilty and so mad at her mother for chaining that refrigerator. So you can imagine the emotions that were involved and attached to her eating behaviors. And so once we worked through all that, it was just the most amazing transformation.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. And so people always think weight loss isn't interesting, but they're wrong.
Everything's interesting. It all depends on the client.
That's very true. And so let me ask you a question because I know you've been really well trained. So what are some of the tips or some of the things that you've learned that are important when you work with a weight loss client? And because there's a lot of hypnotists who are listening and they might be interested in hearing, you know, some of that kind of stuff. And I'll kind of chime in there too to help you out every now and then.
Well, one of the things that I learned with my first client was that you need to make sure when they come in to see how they've been doing over the past week, because she was doing phenomenal. She was losing weight, she was exercising, she was trying new things, and I was like, so how's it been? It was our fifth session, I think, so we had kind of been through all the phases, and she was like, I was doing really great, like I tried this thing with tomatoes, and I was like, that's fantastic, and she brought up how she wasn't ready to try salad yet. And I, like, had to regress her back to it. And it's very important to pay attention to those kind of eating habit details, because even if you don't bring them up, and that might not be the emotion that compels them to eat necessarily, it might be something else that's compounded with it. And I wasn't expecting that at all.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Definitely interesting.
We typically, you know, in the training that you got, and we got the same training, you and I, we typically ask them to make some commitments. Well, can you explain to everybody what those commitments are? Do you remember those just right offhand without looking at notes?
Oh, you're totally putting me on the spot. I have no notes in front of me even if I wanted to. Some of the commitments we're asking them to make are really just, first off, telling us what kind of dietary changes they want to make, because they need to be able to come up with 3 or 4 different things that they're willing to change about their behaviors from day to day. And that's really important, because you can't just go in and be like, you want to exercise, because if they don't want to exercise, they're not going to do it. So I think that's one of the things. Is that what you mean by commitments exactly?
Yeah, you know, they need to know that this is, you know, supplementary to their efforts. So they need to be making some sort of a commitment to their weight loss program. I mean, their dietary program, whatever it is. I guess the other thing I was really also thinking about is the whole thing about where they eat.
Right, definitely. Is the idea of making sure that you eat only at your dining table, or picking a location, because, for example, there are people who they eat in their car. So if they're on a road trip, their mind associates being in their car with eating, or they're watching TV on their couch and they're normally grazing. So then they're sitting on the couch and their brain's like, you should have food right now. You normally have food right now.
That's exactly right. So it's like it triggers a mechanism inside, to use the words of Jerry Kine. And basically they just associate that activity with food. And then of course, if you're watching TV, which is a big thing for a lot of people, it's the end of the day and they've gotten into the habit of sitting down in front of that TV and eating. And when they do that, all of a sudden, dead, and you know, their food is gone, and they're looking for it, and they don't even know that they ate it. It doesn't seem like they ate it because they never made the connection because they were not participating in the eating. They weren't present. They weren't consciously eating. And so what happens is they still feel hungry because the mind, or I guess a certain part of the mind or the body, somehow didn't make the connection that they have already eaten and that, you know, that they're full. And so one of the things that I tell my clients, and I think that your father teaches this in the class, I'm pretty sure I learned this from him, is, you know, not to eat in front of the TV or in front of the computer or when reading. And your dad says the only exception is good company. Does he tell you to basically pass that bit of wisdom on to your clients also?
I'm not exactly sure what you mean. Do you want to explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. So when I have the client in the first session and they're here for weight loss, I have them commit to picking a place to eat, you know, that isn't in front of the TV or in front of the computer or when reading, because when you do these kinds of activities along with eating, then you're not really paying attention to eating, and somehow it doesn't register with your body that you've eaten and that you're full. But if you take the time to actually eat slowly and be very aware of your eating, and you're not, you know, your mind isn't on what's on TV or on the computer or whatever, then typically you're going to feel full, and the fullness is going to last amount of time. Of course, I also like to give suggestions that you're going to get full faster and it's going to last and last and last. And that seems to work really good for my clients. Was that what you meant?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah. Well, I guess we need to move on to that dumb hypnotist trick.
All right. Well, the dumb hypnotist trick that I looked up this week was clients come in and they are 100% certain that their issue began at a particular event. And the dumb hypnotist trick is listening to them, is being like, oh, okay, and really paying attention to when they think it started, because that's most of the time not right, right?
An ISC can be when it started. An ISC can be definitely an SPE at times. That does happen. But you're right. When a client comes in and they tell you, oh, I know exactly where it started. Just put me in hypnosis and we'll go to it and we'll fix this right up. You just nod your head and, you know, say, well, yeah, that could, you know, that's one perspective, but you know, it's possible that something else. So let's just, you know, let's just allow your mind to be kind of free and just see what happens, and don't get stuck on that one event, because, you know, it could be that, but there could be more to it. And, you know, just kind of listen to what they say. And, you know, usually that will be an SPE, but sometimes it's just an event that happened to them. Or a lot of times they come in and they'll have a series of events that just finally has caused the pain that was maybe originally in there with the ISC and several SSEs to become so exacerbated that all of a sudden, you know, they're just feeling overwhelmed and so in pain and suffering so much that that's finally, you know, the last thing that happened, maybe a death, and their kids went off to college, and, you know, maybe they broke their leg. And usually, it can often be, and maybe not usually, but often be, all of a sudden a lot of things came up. And so sometimes they'll think, oh, over the past year, they might say this, I've had all this trauma. I had a lady recently who said that, and this is the cause of my problem of being so sad. You know, and so I definitely, when I do the regression, if they go to that, we work through it, and typically they will. But you don't want to stop there. When you get to that earliest event, of course, you keep trying to regress on the feeling. And typically you'll find that you'll go back more, and usually the beginning is before the age of 5, and probably even more often before the age of 2. And when you've done your sessions, have you noticed that it's usually before the age of 5 where things really start, Kelsey?
Definitely, because those are the years that you're so open to learning everything. So you just kind of learn them a little bit different.
Yeah. So don't listen to your clients. We're not saying don't listen to your clients. Nod your head. Be polite. Let them talk. They need to vent. They need to get it out. They need to tell their story. But once they do, just say, okay, you know, I've written this down. We're going to keep this in mind. But let's not be stuck on it, because there could be some other reason too. There might be something else. And we want you to feel better. You want to get better, right? You don't want to get partially better. You want to get all the way better. And definitely, you know, these things we're going to deal right with. We're not going to run away with them. We're going to face them head on and deal with them. We're going to deal with the emotions that go right along with it too. Are you ready to do that? And they'll say yes and say, okay, well, then let's do some hypnosis or something like that. And then generally, they'll go to those events, and then they'll find that it actually didn't start there. Because what happens is when they come in, let's say they feel sad and that's what they want to get over, you'll have them bring up the feeling that has everything to do with why they called you or what they came in for. And they'll say, oh, you know, it's in my stomach or whatever, because you might ask them where it is. Or what I usually do is I say, I'll count from 1 to 5 and that feeling will come up within you. You know, the score, Kelsey. And then, as I get to the number 5, it'll be as strong and as powerful as ever before. And then, when I get to 5, I say, focus on that feeling. Now we're going to follow it back like a radio signal to an earlier time when you felt that way. 5, going back in time. 4, to an earlier time when you felt that way. 3, it's connected. 2, 1, be there. First impression. Are you indoors or outdoors? Is it daytime or nighttime? Are you alone or with someone? What's happening? And then they may go to those events that they thought had everything to do with this problem, because they probably do have something to do with it. And then once you find out what's happening, you find out what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And when, and you know, that you that usually are going to be feeling that feeling again, you say, okay, focus on that feeling. Is it familiar or is it new? And, you know, if it's familiar, you keep following it back to, you follow it back to the next event. Okay, focus on that feeling. It's connected to, we're going to an earlier time when you felt that way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. And you just keep doing that until you get to the initial sensitizing event. And all that means is where it started from. And then you clear everything up there. Anyway, that's the long version, long answer to that question, I guess. Well, Kelsey, we're out of time. Is there anything else we need to talk about before we go?
I don't know. Well, we'll catch up off air about little tricks and things that the mice can do while the cat's away. How's that sound?
I like that idea. Although I don't know, this might be our last podcast together before Cal comes back, but I'm sure we'll be doing this again.
Oh, I'm sure I'll see you again on the internet.
Yeah, we'll figure out something, some way to get him, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm Celeste Hackett. It was wonderful being here with you. Thanks for tuning in. I just love you. And if you ever have any questions about hypnosis, you can go to askcal.rhypnospace.com. And you can actually write your question in there and we'll answer it on this program. This program is Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. He's off in China right now, but he'll be back. And we'll be doing this hypnosis show again. And just offering you all kinds of support and encouragement in your business as a hypnotist. Again, I'm Celeste Hackett. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Celeste. I'm Kelsey Banyan. I'm coming at you from the Banyan Hypnosis Center in Tustin, California. Have a great day.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only. May not be duplicated without written permission.